If you got farmers in here, you understand the power. There's power in these little seeds right here. Power. In fact, there's so much power that probably the first seed that you're looking at a seed, right? That came from somewhere. These seeds originated when God said, I command, when God commanded and God said, let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth plants, seeds. And then he decreed that everything would produce after its own kind. Everything. Everything produces after its own kind. So here's the basis. This is real. This is 101. This is basic revelation, basic truth in the natural things. But I'm telling you, it works in the spiritual things because God's word is like a seed. Jesus said it was like a seed. He said, a sower goes to sow. A seed. So here's a seed that somebody's going to go sow. But what happens if it doesn't get sown? It just stays in a bag and looks like a seed for years and years. This seed bag of seeds right here has been here for at least 7 or 8 years. And they've not done a single thing, have they? They're good seed. I mean, I'm sure they are just like any other seed that we planted. But something's got to happen to make this power activate. Something in the seed has to happen before it will produce more seed. The potential in every seed is different. All seed is not the same, and all seed doesn't behave the same. Even so, the Word of God is like that. The Word of God is a seed. But the condition that you plant this seed in is very important. If you live in Arizona, you might have to haul some water and stuff in to make seed do what it does in Kentucky. Correct? So seed is a very powerful thing, but there's something alone. It won't work if you don't do something with the seed and you do it correctly. It's got to be worked properly. You got to have something working on the seed. You got to have the elements involved. You got to have the sunshine. You've got to have the rain. You've got to have the nutrients and the minerals and all the good ground. You got to have toiled up ground. Fallow ground is hard for seed to have root. So there's a reason why we have to understand things about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower that went out to sow. Jesus did more talking about the kingdom of heaven, and the church has been so slack in knowing about the kingdom. It's shameful. It's shameful we don't understand kingdom laws and kingdom principles and how does the kingdom actually work for us. You know, I'm a farmer. I'll come from a long line of farmers. Not that I'm actually a farmer making money at farming, but I know how to farm. Understand seed time and harvest time. Seed time and harvest time. And God promised to Noah, he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest would also remain. And he didn't confine it just to the earth's natural forces. There's spiritual forces that seed time and harvest operate through. And so it was Jesus's greatest effort in those 3.5 years as 12 disciples was to teach the kingdom to them. Now he taught the kingdom to the people also. But the disciples that were going to be his proteges or his scholars that would take this word on into the next generation as a seed, because you and I as believers are the production. We are the offspring of those people, so to speak, that heard the gospel 2,000 years ago and is still hearing the gospel today. And we're still preaching the gospel around the world more now than ever. More people live here now than they did then. You know, there's more people on planet Earth than there's ever been, ever. In fact, I've heard it said that if you add up all the people that live right now on the planet, living and breathing and walking around, can hear the gospel, probably are more or as many as has ever lived before Jesus was born and lived. So we've got an opportunity as the church to preach the right gospel. To not preach a gospel that's got a ball bat with it ready to beat you up every day. And I have gone to many, many churches in 38 years. And I'm telling you, I've walked out of churches feeling worse than I did when I went in. Didn't learn a thing about the kingdom. Didn't learn a thing about the living water that's supposed to flow out of me. Didn't learn anything about being productive for the kingdom. How to operate in the kingdom. What was my legal right as the king's child. A child of the king. I'm a child of the king. And you are too. You're royal priesthood, the word says. So I got a hold of the word, and I'm so thankful I did, and I began to realize this word is living. It's alive, and I hear you say that all the time. It's alive. When I hold that Bible, I'm holding the word of God. I'm holding his word. But just like holding those seeds, they'll do nothing at all, even though there's life in them, there's power in those seeds to reproduce themselves. I can't get this word to reproduce until I put it in the right conditions. That's just the truth. Y'all kind of can see the comparison, correct? There's a comparison. So if you try to get that seed to grow by talking to it, babying it, let's have some beans here. I need some beans today. I want to make a pot of beans. So seed, I'm going to tell you right now, I command you, seed, I command you in the name of Jesus, I want a pot of beans out of you. I know that there's at least 2,000 beans right here in my hand, and I just want you to produce right now. Just make it happen right now. Well, how many of you know it's kind of dumb? That's not going to happen. You cannot talk to it and talk it into creating a root system and a plant and beans on it and harvest them in a day. But there is a way if you do it the correct way in the natural. The thing about the spiritual realm is that it's God's realm. We understand that there's governing forces in the physical realm, correct? We understand that you take a child that's born and it's going to take 16 years, let's say, before that child is developed enough physically and mentally, emotionally to drive a car. You wouldn't put a 10-year-old in a car. So it's going to take some time and nutrition and distance to that potential, that child, to be an adult. But in the things of the kingdom, you can get born again in a day and God can grow you up quickly and use you in a mighty way to produce major things. See, God's not limited to the natural elements of physics and the laws of gravity and inertia and all these other laws that govern the physical world, because we're not of the physical world. We're stepping into the kingdom of heaven. We're stepping out of the physical confines of this world, and we're going to look at what the word says about the kingdom. So we're going to talk now today about the kingdom, because it's a kingdom that I've never been there. Have you lived in heaven and functioned as a citizen of that kingdom? I haven't. I don't think anyone in here has. But I know Jesus has, because he came out of there. He came from heaven and he went back to heaven. So he knows all about heaven. What better person to tell us about heaven than somebody who's functioned in heaven's laws and governings than Jesus, who lived there, who created it? So he can come and tell us about heaven. But see, he kept saying, have ears to hear. Because with the kind of hearing you hear this message is the kind of production you're going to have. So you're going to have to hear the word on the kingdom with a different kind of hearing than what natural hearing will give you. Because Jesus said, or Paul said this, he said, the things of the kingdom are foolishness. They don't even look right. They don't act right. You're telling me you're going to believe that? Well, that's foolish. You mean to tell me you sound like that when you pray? That's foolishness. But Paul said the things of the kingdom are foolishness to the natural man. But we, you and I, are not of natural blood type any longer. Our citizenship now has been placed in the kingdom. You and I, whether we realize it or not, as long as a child is a child, he differs nothing, like Paul said, than a servant. But there comes a time when the children have to grow up and go to work for the king. There comes a time when you can't be a sidestepper and watch everybody else work. And you get to stay home and be the bad baby and cry and whine about everything. There comes a time when God says it's time to grow up, child. You're a child of the living God. You're born again. And it's time to understand how to operate in the things of the kingdom. It'd be a sad thing to have a son or a daughter who was 16 years old and still trying to sit in a high chair. It's time for sons and daughters of God to grow up and know how to operate in the things of this word and this kingdom, because it's just like a seed. Every single promise, every single provision, you have to learn how to work the word, and you have to learn to produce the word, because out of your belly, not somebody else's belly, not somebody else's belly, my belly. See, I had to step up to the plate, because the reality is this. We're all going to stand before the king. We're all going to have to give an account of what we've done with our lives. We're all going to stand one day naked and open before him, and nobody's going to be there. Mama's not going to be there. Daddy's not going to be there. All the excuses, your husband, your wife, anybody else is going to be there. You're going to stand there alone and give an account of what you've done with your life here. And that's just a fact. That is absolute fact. Now, whether you believe it or not is beside the point. It's still a fact. A lot of people don't believe in hell. Well, they'll find out. They'll find out there's a real hell. But it's up to us to say, hey, there's a real hell. Have you ever been there? No, but I believe what Jesus said. I believe the word of God. I believe hell is real, and I believe hell is hot, and I believe hell is for eternity. So it behooves us to go to get acquainted with the King of the kingdom, because we've escaped hell. And that's something to be happy about just alone. It's good to know that you're not going to hell.
Right.
I get up every day thinking, God, I could have went to hell. God, because this is what we need to get excited about. No, you're not going up the rough side of the mountain. Just forget about that yucky song. Oh, forget the rough side of the mountain song. You've been translated, boom, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Woo, glory. You're not in the old kingdom anymore. You're in the King's kingdom. You're in the kingdom of the King's kids. You are in the family. Paul said in Ephesians, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He said, I bow my knees before the Father. See, with the Father and his family. And if you're in the family, you're part of the family in heaven and in earth. I think I shared that at Miss Shirley's funeral. So we're part of the family. And guess where the family lives? In Father's house. The family lives in Father's house. What's in Father's house? Everything you need. Are you in earth? Well, does it matter? Is God confined to just heaven? He can't work anywhere but heaven? Granted, there's no devil in heaven. That makes life a little easier there, I'm sure. But Jesus gave you authority over the devil. So what's the excuse now? Really, a lot of it is just ignorance and wrong, stinky thinking, wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong ideas. That's what hinders you and I from walking in his kingdom, children. Taking advantage of privileges as kingdom children. So look what he says. I'm also going to give you some scripture here. About Rome, let's look at Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, oh, it's all about the kingdom. I want you thinking about the kingdom. That you are now citizens of the kingdom. What kingdom of God is a great place to be a citizen. It's a great place. Now, I've never been there, but yet I have a citizen. I have a visa. I have a passport there. I'm part of the kingdom. I am stamped kingdom kid. You have a legal right, Teresa, to take advantage of what's in the kingdom. Isn't that something to get excited about?
Yes.
Woohoo! Well, if you don't know what your privileges are, how can you get excited? If you don't know who you are in Christ, how can you get excited? If you don't know that you have the mind of Christ, how can you get excited? If you don't know that you can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the kingdom, you don't know what you can do and what you can't do. So it's time to get in the Word and let the live rivers of living water flow out of you so it can change everything, not only you, but everything around you. Glory. Y'all getting splashed on a hair here? Woo! I feel that anointing. See, the Holy Ghost came to take Jesus' place. He told Philip, he said, it's expedient, Philip. You don't even know. Oh, don't leave us, Jesus. Don't leave us, Jesus. Jesus, he could have stayed. You know, Jesus still be just as much Jesus right now. This will blow your theology out the door. Jesus, if he had not let them kill him, he would still be alive today because he did not have the curse upon him in any way, shape, or form. Death could not touch him. He was the life. He was the way, the truth, and the life. So he would have never died. He'd still been one Jesus walking around preaching the kingdom for these last 2,000 years. But he said, it's expedient that I go back to the kingdom, because if I don't go back to the kingdom and go back the way he did, I can't send back the Holy Ghost. But when I send him back, he's not an it, he's a him. When I send him back, he'll be in you and he'll reveal to you all about the kingdom. Because he won't speak of himself. He'll only speak to you what he hears. And he knows individually everything we each one need to hear. Because everybody needs to hear something different. We're all on different levels of development and growth. And we all have different circumstances. We have a different family. We got different dynamics in our family. Some families are meaner than snakes. And you just need a word from God how to deal with that. Some are jealous. Some are greedy. There's some that are just so selfish they wouldn't give you the shirt off their back. Holy Ghost will help you with all that. So it's important that you've got the Holy Ghost who will give you guidance, your comforter. When you're sad, he'll just, whoo, pick you right up. had him just do so many wonderful things for me. People thought, why is she crying? Why is she sad? Why is she out there praising God and jumping up and down and shouting? The devil was wondering about it too, I'll guarantee you, a few times. Because the Holy Ghost is real. He's not an it. He's not a figment of my imagination. He's a person. And Jesus said, it's expedient, Philip, that I go away. If I don't go away, I cannot send him back to you. Not just to the 12, but to every believer. Every believer has access to the kingdom through the Holy Ghost. Because guess what? He's your pipeline. He's your signal. He's got direct transmission. He's in constant, complete, total contact with the King, who's at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you. You can go to God anytime, day or night, because the Holy Ghost will see to it that you even pray the right prayers. He knows how to interpret your prayers. He knows how to help you pray the prayers. Okay. If y'all have been getting excited about this a little bit by now. Okay. The kingdom of God. Here's what the kingdom of God is not. The kingdom of God is not about you meeting your needs. The kingdom is not about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that. Did he say that or not? Yes, he did in Matthew chapter 7. He said, take no thought for your morrow. He said, don't worry about the things that you're going to have to deal with. Didn't he say that? Didn't he say also seek first the kingdom? Seek first the kingdom. Well, that's what we're doing today. We're going to spend some time seeking first the kingdom. We're going to forget about our cares, forget about our worries, forget about the bills, forget about how I'm going to do this, how am I going to do that, because I'll guarantee you, you'll have those same problems 10 years from now about what to do. Really. So let's look at what the kingdom is not. He says it's not meat and drink. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Because Jesus said, your father... You're in family now. He's talking to family. He said, because your father knows that you have need of all that. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one inch to your height? Anybody? I tried it. You can change one hair white or black. When I started getting gray, I said, no, I don't like this. Please change back. By just taking thought, this is what he said, just by taking thought, you can't change it. But in the kingdom, there's a whole different way of life. Whole different way of doing things. And guess what? It's not a natural way of life. It's supernatural. It means it's above and beyond the natural. It's super. It's supernatural. That's why it's called super. Because it's like, whoo, rocket jet. It's rocket fuel. It's got power. It's got, oh my goodness. And look what the word it says about the kingdom of God. And this is what you've been translated into. You've been translated into righteousness. You've been translated into peace. You translate it into joy of the Holy Ghost. Now take advantage of it. Yahoo. Take advantage of it. Yahoo. We got choices now. There was a time when I couldn't take a choice. If I wanted to just feel sad and bad about something, I just did. Couldn't help it. I just had no choice. But now when I get an opportunity to feel sad and bad about something, now I have a choice to feel good about stuff. Now I know how to cast my cares on him, for he cares for me. Now I know how to go boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the times of need. Now I know how to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I know how to walk upon scorpions and serpents, and nothing by any means shall hurt me. Now I know what it means when it says perfect love casts out all fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You don't have any room for fear in the kingdom, because kingdom doesn't exist there. If it's not legal there, it shouldn't be legal in your life either, because you've been translated into the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. See, what we're doing today, we're just pulling off the cover. We're pulling back the veil, that veil of the flesh that has held us back from walking in the things of the kingdom. I woke up this morning, 3:00 in the morning. Sometimes I wish the Holy Ghost would let me sleep. And I say, Lord, waking up to the kingdom thinking kingdom thoughts, talking kingdom talk. And you know what happens? You start thinking kingdom way and talking kingdom way. Guess next, it gets infectious. And you start want to walking in kingdom. You want to start experiencing kingdom. And that's what Paul said. Don't be conformed to this natural way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinking. Change the way you think by the renew your mind. Renew your thinking. And guess what happens when you do? You want to start proving if it's true or not. He said, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12, we're so familiar with it. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinking, that you can prove. You got an opportunity to prove that it's real. You've got an opportunity to prove that you can pull out of the kingdom the things you need here on this earth. You've got an opportunity to prove that the Holy Ghost, who is the power that created everything, is living in you. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Glory to God. And to prove that Jesus said, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. See, you can doubt in your heart. But you know, the good news is this. The good news is this, Jimmy. You can doubt in your head and have faith in your heart. I learned this. I've learned this through years of trial and error experience. No man could teach me this. It takes the Holy Ghost, who's your best teacher ever. Because that's what Jesus said. The Holy Ghost, he said, when he's come, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, not just the smidgen, all you want. And he said, and he will show you things to come. He will be your teacher. He'll be your paraclete, the one that goes along. He'll stick closer than a brother. So I tell you what, the wonderful thing about the kingdom is it's real. And he makes it more real as you live in it. In fact, he gives you a piece of it. And he says, okay, now enjoy this and walk in this. Practice this. Exercise this. It's kind of like a muscle. You know, you don't want to build your abs to be able to lift 200 pounds in a day. It takes time to work that muscle to that point. Now, I got to where I could lift 70 pounds. But when I started, this little bony arm couldn't lift 70 pounds. But I had to work at it. And it's the same way in your human spirit. Your human spirit can be developed to do more in the things of the kingdom. Because the kingdom operates by faith. The world operates by fear, but the kingdom operates by faith. That's why fear is such a dangerous thing. Romans 15:18. Normally I don't have four pages or five. But I just try to limit it to one or two, but I couldn't. I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop going on and on and on about it this morning. And I said, well, the Lord woke me up. I'm just going to go on. But I won't preach too long because I know I preach a long time. But if you know what? If you're hungry and you sit down to a little snack, you want more, right? If you come hungry here, you're going to get all you want. You'll get your spirit belly full. Some people aren't hungry for the things of God. I mean, a sandwich would do it. They're ready to go. They'd have a little bitty belly. But I tell you what, he'll open up your heart to want so much more so you can enjoy the things of the kingdom. So it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it really is. Okay, doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you're not going to have attacks of the devil, because the devil is here. He is so here. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin once and told him, he said, can we cast the devil into hell? And he said, he said, you can't do that. He's a legal right to be here. And he told him in a vision, he said, if I could have cast him into hell, I would have cast everyone I could out of hell into hell. And that had been that less you would have to deal with when you came along. So they're here. They have a legal right to be here. And Jesus taught us how to operate and how to live a kingdom way of life. That's why he gave us power over all the devil. That's why he came to destroy the works of the devil. You can't destroy the works of the devil, but you operate in what he's already done. He's already established. See, Romans 15:18. Look at the next verse. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. That was a chore. Take a bunch of pagan believers who believed in sun gods and all these other gods, worshiped the princess, the goddess Diana, and my goodness, he took a bunch of heathens and got them born again, and then taught them about the kingdom. And so he says, through mighty signs and wonders. This is what the church is missing. The church is missing the mighty signs and wonders, but we're getting ready to see them. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God who happens to live in you. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel. Now, this is my take on this. That the church is not fully preaching the gospel. Because if you're fully preaching it, you're going to preach signs and wonders. You're going to do what Jesus said to do. Raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, walk on water. He said, your things I do, you'll do also. I said, Lord, I just got to get to the also. Don't worry about the greater things. I just got to do the also. So, but to do the also, you've got to fully preach what he preached. And so to fully preach is what Paul said, signs and mighty wonders. So we can't fully preach it if we don't know what it is. You can't fully understand your citizenship in the kingdom if you don't know what your citizenship gives you. You can't fully understand heaven until he reveals it to you and how to operate in that kingdom. You've got access to the kingdom. You can reach up your sixth, you can reach up your hand and pull things out of the kingdom. I promise you, you can. You, if you've laid up treasures in heaven and you've got treasures in heaven, you can access heaven with those treasures. You've laid up treasures. They're your treasures. If you lay up treasures in the bank account down here at United Bank or wherever, don't you have access to your treasures? Well, don't you know if you lay up things in the kingdom, you've access to them too? You do. The Lord told me once, he said, you've laid up some treasure. Just call those things to come on in here. And I said, okay. And I did it, and there they were. It's just been the most wonderful way of life because it's joy in the Holy Ghost. It's just wonderful to not have fear and worry control you any longer. It's not supposed to control us. But we haven't fully heard the gospel preached. We haven't fully heard the truth. We've heard a part of it, but we haven't heard the full picture that what belongs to the child of the living God. I know that I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Now that means I'm no longer there. That means he's not my dominion anymore. I have no more dominion, it means it really doesn't. In fact, if you sin, you do now because you want to. If you're born again, you do it because you like it, because it's not supposed to. That's what's going to be so bad about the judgment day, is like God said, doesn't you know I've translated you out of all that mess, and you must like it so much that you just stayed right there and did it anyway. But you don't have to. I think what the enemy does is he tricks people into thinking they can't change. They can't quit drinking, or they can't quit smoking, or they can't quit something. But sin shall no longer have any dominion over you, because you got the power of the Holy Ghost to do whatever you want to do for Jesus now. That's what's so dangerous about understanding the full. People don't want to know the full gospel because it causes accountability. It causes something called conviction. Not condemnation, but conviction. Condemnation is of the devil, but conviction is of God. It's a good thing. It makes us shape up. It makes us want more. Because really, if you just walk in the kingdom, the more you get rid of you, the more you'll like you. Really. The more I think about poor me, the worse I feel. The more I think about how I look, the worse I look. The more I think about where I'm going, the worse I just worry about it. See, I don't think about me hardly ever anymore. Because my eyes are set up on the kingdom. I've got my eyes on the King, not on me. I can't perform anyway, but he can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do I believe that? Yes, I do. I truly do. I truly believe that. I've been working that word for a while, and I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When God, the Holy Ghost, spoke me, said, you get on a plane and go to New York and pick him up and do it now. Don't even book a flight. Just pack a bag and go to the airport. Okay. There I went. That's called obedience. Obedience to the Holy Ghost. That's a surrendered life. It takes a surrendered life to really enjoy the kingdom. It really does. And if I had not gone, the guy would have died. He would have just died. God didn't want him to die. And God knew he could use me. I'd say some folks have died because I wasn't obedient. Some folks may have died because you wasn't obedient. You don't ever know, but we'll know one day. One day we'll know what we missed by our disobedience, by our things that control us. Things that the devil is a manipulator of control. He really is a control freak. He's an evil genius, but he's also a control freak, and he knows exactly what pushes your button. But as you get revelation knowledge of the kingdom, he won't push your button anymore. You'll say, "Oh, nope, not going to do that. I know what that took me. That took me around the mountain 3 times. I ain't doing that again." Y'all know what I mean by going around the mountain. Okay. I just want to get back on the kingdom here. So Paul's saying, he said, I fully preach the gospel with signs and wonders. And verse 20 says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is right after John the Baptist, who was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, was thrown into prison. Well, Jesus just picked up the torch and went right on, preaching kingdom. In Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. Preaching just means proclaiming or teaching, explaining the gospel of the kingdom. Did you ever just stop and think, what gospel mean? Gospel just means good news of the kingdom. I'm sharing good news today about the kingdom. A kingdom that they'd never heard of. Because they didn't know God as Father. They only knew God as Jehovah Judge. And the God of the law. But they never knew God as Father until Jesus. And Jesus, the good news is, he gave you his spirit, which now you cry, Abba, Father. You are adopted into the kingdom and you're a joint heir with Christ. That means everything he owns, you own equally. You don't have a smidgen of heaven. You own all of heaven because he owns all of heaven. That's a privileged place to walk. Isn't that exciting? It's word. I'm not preaching something heresy. It's word. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And he's my brother. He's my champion. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my everything. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. In Christ. You know, if you just take time to write down every single scripture that says in him, in whom, in who, and write all those down and find out what you have in him, you'd be amazed at what he's provided in the kingdom. It's amazing what he's provided in the kingdom. But you got to get this thinking straightened out. Because as long as you see yourself as an old, filthy, dirty worm, which the devil's been really good at keeping us there, and you're always worried and fretful, nervous, shaky, always said shaking, nervous, shaky, and jerky, which I used to be nervous, shaky, and jerky every day of my life. Oh, God, the devil's going to get me. I don't want to talk about the devil. And I used to be so afraid of the devil. And you would be afraid of the devil, too, if he was walking in your house every night and keeping your doors open and throwing stuff through your house and showing up in your bedroom at night talking to you and trying to kill you by choking you to death and throwing you on the ground. You would be a little nervous, too, about the devil. But the Lord had to teach me how to deal with the devil. We have people walk in here who are demon-possessed who will get thrown on the floor and waller like an animal, screaming at the top of the lungs where the people upstairs have to call the landlord and have to say, they're casting devils out down there. You need to get them better than people. No. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. We cleaned this place out one night. But devils came out of a young man, and he's normal today. He was woke up, he got awakened every night with this demon. It was horrible. Life was horrible for this guy. And Jesus told me 30 years ago or plus years ago, he said, there's more demon-possessed people now than have ever been on the planet. So the church is not doing her job. They're running from the devil rather than dealing with the devil. Because you can't do it without the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot deal with demons if you don't know who you are in Christ. Jesus was never afraid of a devil. And you never heard Jesus say, oh God, please deal with this devil. He never cried out to the Father to come down and deal with the devil. He just said, come out of him. Because he had the Holy Ghost. He had the full power of the Holy Ghost, didn't he? Out of your belly, out of your belly. I saw that vision. When a strong spirit of man shall sustain him. God wants us spiritually grown up. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in an earth suit. Just sit and look at your hand. This morning I woke up looking at this hand. You know, this is just a cool machine. Fine. But it's just a hand. It's just a piece of flesh. But my spirit man is really me. Glory. This is the part you get to see. But God sees the spirit. The devil sees the spirit. The devil knows whether you believe God's word or not. He knows whether you're full of the word or full of the Holy Ghost. He knows. You can walk into a store and people can feel the power of God on your life. Look at what he said in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Oh, but you might say, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't do a single miracle until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was the same Jesus when he was 18. He was the same Jesus when he was 24. He was the same Jesus when he was 28. He was still the Son of God. I'm not taking away from him being the Son of God. But he didn't do a miracle until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and come out of that river of Jordan. The Holy Ghost came upon him and he was anointed with power. And he went to his synagogue of his hometown and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Look at Luke chapter 4 and read that. And see, he said, go preach the gospel to the disciples. Go preach the gospel. Did he send you alone? No, he sent you the Holy Ghost to do what he did. Because you're not going to do a thing with the devil if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled. It's time to get cracking. It's time to get working. It's time to reveal the kingdom to the people on this earth. It's time for the kingdom of our God. Glory. Are y'all getting something this morning? I know we'll go back to our jobs and we'll go back to our normal life and we'll go back and doing the things we used to do, but I pray that we'll never be the same after today. That the Holy Ghost will be more real, that your inner man will be more real, that you'll take up the arms and take up the strength and do the things that build you up spiritually, because he gives you instructions. He says in one place, pray in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You want more faith? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You want more faith? Get in the Word. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So keep hearing the Word. Keep reading the Word. I read the Word. I pray the Word. I talk the Word. This Word is my life. Because I know it's what builds my faith. It's what develops faith. And guess what? You are ordained by God to live by faith. Wow, that's a big order. That's a tall order. You mean to tell me, God, I can't live by my emotions anymore? You mean I can't manipulate you anymore? You mean I can't talk you into doing something? I have been preaching for years and I've been at altars and poor little people sat at an altar and cry and bawl and squall and try to talk God into healing them. Try to talk God into saving their kids. Try to talk God into doing whatever they want him to do. And they'll cry and they'll pull their hair out. They'll scream. They'll beg. They'll do anything. They'll give you any amount of money you can give. Just please, God, show up and do something to help me, when he's given you everything right here in the Word to do it. We just don't want to do it the way he said to do it. We don't want to follow the instruction manual. We want to do it our way. No, God, you've got to do it our way. You've got to come down and do it because I ask you to. Please feel sorry for me enough. Please feel sorry for me. I can't tell you how many times I ask God to please feel sorry for me. And God is not going to feel sorry for me. He's not going to feel sorry for you because he would be making an exception. It doesn't work like that. Electricity doesn't work like that either. You got to hook this thing up right to make it work. If electricity could work because something felt sorry for it, that'd be crazy. There's power, force alive in you, working in you, waiting on you to plug into. And it takes the revelation word to do it. That's why I pray every single day. Maybe I miss a day or a few. But most of the time I pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, 18, and 19. Father, give me the spirit of wisdom. If Paul prayed it, it ought to be a prayer for me. Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, that he might give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of him, that your eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of your calling in Christ Jesus. That you could be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all saints what is the depth, the length, the breadth, and the height, and to know the love of God that passeth all understanding. That right there in the package, I just wish God could just sell it to me. But you know, you don't get it through Amazon. You can't order that. You have to seek the kingdom to get that. Seek first the kingdom and his way of doing things, his righteousness. And those things will be added to you. You'll be given the spirit of wisdom. You'll be walking around and praying in tongues and all of a sudden, bam, you'll get a revelation. Wow, that's cool. It'll be like a light bulb just come on. And your head will say, I don't know anyone. No, that can't work. Your brain will try to talk you out of it because it's not natural. But remember, Paul said the natural things it's not natural. It's foolishness to the natural man. So spiritual things are going to be foolishness to you. You just got to say, I don't care what people think. I don't care if I think I'm crazy. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Because the Word says in Romans chapter 8 that they that are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. And a son of God is a pretty powerful thing to be. Because you've got access to the Father. Access to the throne. We all have to start baby steps. Oh, I'm still taking baby steps, Jesus, in this. I'm still taking baby steps here. I'm still growing in this and this. And it's a little scary, God. I feel like I'm ready to fall off any minute. But it's so worth the challenge. Mark 16:14. And after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Okay, can I make a point right here while I got an opportunity? For all your Baptist friends, be sure and tell them about this. Because a lot of them don't believe in women preaching, right? Jesus appeared to a woman. And she says, Rabboni. He said, don't touch me. Tell the disciples. Go tell them. So she was immediately the very first evangelist that he was ordained of God to go preach the word. I'm alive from the dead. Did y'all know that? Mary Magdalene, and she had been a prostitute. Oh my gosh. These things are in the word. And then he was appearing, and she goes back and tells the disciples, I've seen the Lord. Well, do you think they believed her? The woman preacher that was a prostitute? Just baffles your thinking, doesn't he? Doesn't he upend your theology? He loves to upend our theology. We need our theology turned upside down. And those disciples still didn't believe. And he upbraided them right here. He said, you didn't listen to the ones I showed up to and told. He upbraided for their hardness of heart. And then he said to them, now this is the group he goes and says this to. This is amazing. They never believed the people who saw him when he was raised. Then he expects them to go do this. Now you're going to go do this. Go into all the world. Does he say all? Yes, he said all the world. And preach the gospel. What gospel? The same gospel Jesus was preaching about the kingdom. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, don't forget the rest of this. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a fully preached the gospel right there. So then after that the Lord had spoken of them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. You know, I made that in larger print because he had to make this clear to me. He had to make this really clear to me. Teresa, I'm not going to send you out to preach because I was sent here. And he said, I'm not sending you a helpless and an orphan with an orphan spirit. Most believers have an orphan spirit. They do not know who their Father God is. They don't know who their daddy is. They do not know what belongs to them in the kingdom and how to access the kingdom. He didn't send me unprepared, but he sent the power of the Holy Ghost. And he gave me his word and he said, I'll work with you. You're not alone. You're not alone either. He'll work with you. It's just that we got to give him something to work with. He's not going to override your will. You know, he's not going to yank you by the hair of the head and say, you do it this way. Like our parents do or did. He's a gentle guide. And all you got to do is be willing to listen and be directed. But sometimes we don't want to listen. Do we? So, but that's the cool thing is he's going to work with you. You step out doing the signs. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We've been given the commission, the church, the body of Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, upon this rock, this revelation who I am, I'm building my church. And he began building the church 2,000 years ago. And it's still the same church. There's a church in heaven, a church of devils here to cast out. There's still people sick to get healed. There's still the lost to get saved. So the commission was delegated to us, but he never did another miracle after he was risen from the dead. So he delegated that anointing, that authority to the church. And so at this particular scripture, Matthew 10, he anointed them. So the anointing can be shared. You know, it's transferable. The anointing is transferable. So he transferred the anointing to heal to the disciples. They weren't even born again yet. They weren't even filled with the Holy Ghost. So that anointing was transferable, the Holy Ghost anointing. It takes the anointing to break the yoke. So that anointing was transferred to them, and he told them, you now are empowered. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, but unto the city of the Samaritans. Enter you not, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These folks had never heard that. Ever. They'd never heard that. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, the thing about Jesus and God, the Father, he's the same today and forever. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He transcends all space and time. He told Martha, he said, I'm the resurrection. When he came to 4 days, Lazarus had been dead. Do you rise in the last day? He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Didn't matter whether he was the resurrection and the year 2015 or 2018. He's the resurrection. He's the resurrection. He transcends all time and space. He is the resurrection. You see, the power of resurrection was in him. Resident. Forever. Think about the kingdom. Let God open up your heart. Say, God, I just want to know about the kingdom. I want to know what legal rights do I have so I can take advantage of them. I want to walk as a king's kid. I want to rule and reign in life through Christ. I want to understand what that is. I've not been doing that. I want to walk in victory 100% of the time. I don't want to just have a hope-so salvation. I want to know-so salvation. I want to know who I am in Christ. I want to know what you provided. I want to know how to walk on scorpions and serpents. And nothing of the enemy shall any be fearless in the sight of the enemy. The word says, even David said, by my God, I've leaped over a wall. And by my God, I've run through a troop. He teacheth my hands to war that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. Take on the whole armor of God. There's so many wonderful promises in this word. I just pray you've been blessed and encouraged and had exciting word put in you today. Not religion. Not religion. Religion is about you trying to get God to do whatever it is you need. This is you stepping up to the plate and walking in the kingdom. This is about you coming up to him. Because he says it's thoughts above your thoughts. My thoughts, he said, are so high above yours that he can reveal it to you through the Spirit. Father, I seal this word. I seal this word, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for the wedding we're doing here today. Thank you, Father, for the people that are coming. Use this ministry, God, as a blessing to the lives of many souls. Bring souls into the kingdom today. Father, every need met, every bill paid, every situation ironed out, whatever problems are going on in physical bodies, I just call them healed. We're just asking for a manifestation of your healing power here today. Ask him, Father God, that you'll show up. We've preached the kingdom today, Father. We have released the kingdom anointing today. We release. Thank you, Father, for opening that veil to us, opening up that window to us. We can see that there's so much more to receive from those who walk uprightly before me. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, it belongs to us. Give us grace to receive it. In Jesus' name.